May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to us from God our Father through his Son, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. May the clamor around us be subdued and be quieted. May his Spirit within each of us comfort us in the reality of our presence in his kingdom. May we remember what we have been called to be, and that is to be salt and to be light. And as we journey to Calvary, may we never forget what he did there in his love for us. The epistle text for this Sunday morning as we journey in this time of Lent towards the events of the cross is from 1 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Prayerfully that the Lord would reduce the noise, but also convict us in heart and speak to us and encourage us through his word, that we might stand for the truth, that we might stand for the oppressed, that might be reflective of kindness and love one to another and to those around us and to those who are disadvantaged and who are different. 1 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. We're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did eat of the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, and as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also were tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them as an example. They were all written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world, an end of the ages are coming. Wherefore let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you might be able to bear it. Amen. Almost kept reading. Corinthians were in a precarious position as a church. As we've reflected in many times, as I've spoken about the church in Corinth, that was in a crossroads of their times and of travel. And so the world was impacting the church, and believers were compromising their position and their practice in their time and succumbing to what's taking place around them, rather than stepping back and assessing what the church should or shouldn't do, or what the church should participate in or what it should not. Because they had gained newfound freedom in Jesus Christ. And even as all of us know, Scripture tells us, we are waiting for God's kingdom to come in its perfection, but we live in God's kingdom today at its imperfection. There's none of us who can say we have not sinned. We need the assurance of the gospel. We need to be reminded of what Calvary brought to us and is available yet today. The forgiveness of our sins, the enabling of the Spirit, the ability to depart from God's presence, even in our fellowship this morning, being reassured of our sin forgiven, of the common presence of His Spirit, and of the fellowship that we share, even as the word speaks of that. For those of us that enjoy baseball, Yogi Berra said, it ain't over till it's over. And really, that is a principle in the Christian's life. You know, in a race, it matters little who has the lead at the beginning. We watch a race in the Olympics or in some particular event, and somebody takes off like a jackrabbit at the start, and who comes at the finish line is one that is declared the winner. It's a marathon. Our lives are characterized as a marathon by Paul that requires endurance and a lifetime commitment to keep running strong with the intent of finishing strong. with the intent of finishing strong. And so, no matter where we are in that race, we can assess that individually this morning. There's still time to finish well. But there are consequences to sin and supporting that which is wrong. And we are to avoid sin and persevere in our Christians' lives to stand up for that which is true and that which is right. In chapter 9, previous chapter to this, verses 24 through 27, Paul talks about that. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize, so run, receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. For every man that strives for mastery in the games is temperate in all things, but they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. All right, therefore run not as uncertainly. There is a focus, there is a goal, and there is direction, there is purpose. And so in our text, we really read about a history lesson regarding the people of Israel that they should take note. Remember, the Corinthians were Gentile, they weren't Jewish. But still, a history lesson. And the problem with history is destined to repeat itself if we don't pay attention and repeat its mistakes. All of God's people experience great spiritual privilege, but we also have responsibility. You know, evil triumphs over good when good men remain silent and say nothing. What are some of those characteristics that we are to support as believers? Compassion, understanding, love, kindness. Accepting others that might diverge from our way of thinking, but do so in a very proper manner and approach. What don't we support? We don't support boasting. We don't support ridicule. We don't support mockery. We don't support anger. We don't support invectives. We don't attack others because they are different. And that shouldn't happen in our country either. For those of you that know me, I don't very often do I ever talk about anything political. I have people on both sides of the aisle that are my friends. But boy, what I witnessed in our country is appalling today when we think about one of the candidates for president. You know who I'm talking about. The mistreatment of others, the intolerance for people because they are just different. And we've been given a voice. And there's not one that says we should hate others or we should kick people out or we should kick people when they're down. And we are to stand for the oppressed. And we are to lift up. Doesn't Scripture tell that we're to lift up, not push down? There is decency of character, and there is moral conduct and moral turpitude that needs to be upheld. And we as a church need to stand for the right. Think of World War II. I had a debate about talking about this. Martin Niemöller was a Lutheran pastor in World War II who talked about how they came for somebody different, and I never said anything. In his writing, he talks about several different people groups. But finally, he said, they came for me because nobody now was there even to talk for me or to stand up for me. Folks, stand up for that which is right. And stand up for that which is true. And stand up for that which is beholding Christian character. Don't get caught up in the clamor and the noise of the time. Remember, we're reducing clamor. We're to stand up for that which is scriptural, that which is proper decorum. There needs to be decency and moral character in the discourse in our country and in the treatment of others. As somebody said, this isn't funny anymore. This isn't reality TV. This is our nation we're talking about. We've been given a voice. Stand up for those who are oppressed. Uphold that which is right. Even as they made this journey from Egypt to the promised land, they went through difficulty, didn't they? They went through trials. They went through problems. Coming out of Egypt, the picture of salvation. The benefit of the cross of Jesus Christ to others. Paul states, all were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses, all ate the same spiritual drink, food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. We have and we receive even today spiritual privilege. See, God has chosen of His initiative to save us through the gospel. It's not my initiative, it's His initiative, because He sent Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased. Contrast between how many were blessed, all, right? All were baptized, all ate, all drank. That rock which was Jesus Christ, looking forward. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Doesn't say all of them He was displeased with. Many of them. Well, that's kind of an understatement if you think in numerical terms. 3 million people came out of Egypt, yet only Joshua and Caleb were allowed to enter into the promised land. The rest were laid low. They were disqualified because of their unbelief, because they didn't trust in God. They didn't go back to Egypt. You can't go back to Egypt. The blood of the Lamb, the Passover, which had taken them out of Egypt, was irreversible. But they lost the reward that God wanted to give them because of their sin and their unbelief. Moses was saved, yet on account of unbelief, he did not finish well. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. It can happen to us. We need to humbly understand that and take God's warning seriously. There's spiritual failure, we know that. There's personal failure, we know that. There's personal circumstance, we know that. But there also is accountability. There's also accountability. I mean, the instructions are very clear to us. God's still in control, of course, but we've been given a voice. God's still in control, so we can leave it to someone else. Go read the writings of Martin Niemöller if you want when you get home. Go Google that. Understand what his times were about. We all know the example of World War II and the despotism of that time. The demagoguery that was taking place. There is proper discourse and disagreement that is only understandable with differences of perspective, but not anger and hatred and violence. They left Egypt. These things are for example that we should not lust after evil things, follow things which are evil, which are clearly wrong. And to have Christians and churches supporting this is appalling in my mind. Like I said, I generally don't talk about anything political from the pulpit. But it's been that convicting to me this week, as we watch the actions that take place in the political world today. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. There's the problem, it's play. They didn't take their responsibility or their journey seriously. In following the design and the designation and the direction that God had given to them. And what's our design? What's our direction? What's our purpose? It's here to uphold Scripture and do that which is scriptural in action. Rhetoric is one thing. Talk is cheap. But by their fruits ye shall know them. There we go. And so the world looks at our fruits and our body of work. You know, it's not the individual slice of a day, but the body of our work and of our lives. The more big picture, as we would want to call it that. Because we know we're not perfect. We still carry the old man, but we are to allow that new man to be regenerated day by day in the teachings and the example and the image of Jesus Christ. Why are we here this morning? To understand and be a part of this body of which we fellowship with, and to be a part of the greater church that follows Jesus Christ, and to be encouraged as we walk by faith and not be discouraged, and to uphold the truth and to feel we have received from His hand that which will allow our week ahead to be successful, that we might approach something differently this week than maybe we did last. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. It doesn't say to work or to follow. And the Lord was good to them. He had this cloud by day that they could know His presence. He had this pillar by night. Such a beautiful picture to me. As we look in the, think about the nighttime, we look out, we might see something bright. Sometimes here in Arizona, the moon is so bright, and it's like a pillar up there that reflects to us the light of God's love. The sun by day and the moon by night today. Neither let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3 and 20,000. So there. Sexual immorality. It happens. It happens in our times. It's happened throughout history. There's nothing new under the sun, as so many have preached from the pulpits of that I have sat and listened to throughout my lifetime. But immorality, they fell in the wilderness, and that was one of the key issues that the church in Corinth was struggling with. And so Paul is really hard-hitting in his first letter to the Corinthians. The beautiful thing is that they made a change of direction. They repented of their wrong and of their sin. And in 2 Corinthians, he very beautifully commends them for that. Restoration. Forgiveness of sin. What a blessing we have to restore and to heal. We don't go to a hospital or go to a doctor to be made worse, do we? Do we? We go there to be healed. And a hospital for those who are dealing with sin is the church. And a refuge from the heat of the day and the oppression of the world. We need to offer that as a church and not lose sight and focus of our reason and our direction. And so he said, neither let us, he doesn't exclude himself, but don't let the church and don't let the believers in Corinth, then and today, succumb to immorality. Neither let us tempt Christ the Lord, as some of them also tempted and destroyed of serpents. How far can I go? Sometimes that's the question that's asked. Well, let's just see how far I can go. How much can I get away with? God's limits. He sets it. He's always welcoming to call back the sinner and the repentant. But see here, in this case, they stepped over the line. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and restored of us and were destroyed of the destroyer. Sick and tired of manna in the wilderness, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Cucumbers, garlic, onions, fruit. Food, material possessions that they had there that they no longer had. And they wanted, some of them wanted to go back. They murmured, they complained, they grumbled. We had it much better there than we have it out here, even though God was providing for everything they needed. I mean, think of these things that they fell into, idolatry and immorality. Testing God, grumbling and complaining. I think there's one word that characterizes the whole wilderness experience of Israel is grumbling. This began 1 month after the Exodus. Incessantly for 2 years. God decreed that all those 20 years or older would not be permitted into the promised land. And so translated to the Greek Old Testament, use the same term destroyer. What really is ingratitude for blessings that God has given us and God gave them? They wanted more. Not trusting His availability. Remember, there's the cloud and there's the pillar of fire. They didn't trust His provision. And they didn't trust His power. God's goodness and his righteousness and his grace is extended to us. Here, take some more. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, Paul warned, bad company corrupts good morals. And God pulls the plug. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he that he does not fall. Oftentimes, great beginnings may fall and ruin the latter days of their life. Sometimes people think, well, I finally arrived. No, I'm still on that journey, one foot in front of another. In the mountaintop, we're most vulnerable to be set up for a fall or vulnerable to attack. Elijah on the mountain where he defied the prophets of Baal sat under the juniper tree, defeated and discouraged. What are you doing here, Elijah? He went from bravery to cowardice. I'm alone. No, we are not alone. We have each other. Look around the room this morning. Look around the sanctuary. We have each other. Think about the greater good and the right thing to do. And upholding the which is true, and standing up for the oppressed and showing tolerance towards others. We might not agree, it's okay. But boy, there sure is a right way of saying it and the proper place for discourse. And so in the times of history, as we read about these history lessons from the Old Testament, as we think about the history lessons that we can recall, that we have learned in our education over time, take lesson from it. Don't murmur as some of them also murmured. All these things happen in verse 11 for an example, and they are written for our admonition upon who the end of the ages are coming. Examples for us in Scripture, examples for us in history, examples for us in our lifetime. Temptation is common to every person, but no temptation is seizures that is not human, or in Greek, manlike. No one can hide behind the argument that his sin is unique so he can be excused. You see, there's control to the context of temptation. Why are there low limit signs on highways? Or bridges or elevators? Most of you know I'm an engineer. And they're designed for an exact amount of stress or capability that materials can safely endure. A lot of great effort goes to make sure that things are safe in flight, which I'm involved with, aircraft, the roads that we travel on, the vehicles that we have, that we own. And there are posted warnings. Human beings also have their low limit, don't they? We each have our low limit of what we can tolerate and endure. It varies from person to person. Bearing the pressure of trial and temptation as it comes at us through various times of our lives. But human beings have their breaking point. Paul promises that God is faithful and he will not allow you to be tested or tried beyond that which you are able. Let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Because there is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Verse 13, But God is faithful. Repeat that to ourselves. God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able. That's good. God personally and providentially provides a way of escape. Paul didn't mean that there is one way of escape that is available regardless of the temptation. But his point is, we are responsible to do our part as well because we have a voice and we have the actions of our lives. verses 13 through 15 really speak of bearing up, standing up, and fleeing. Sometimes it's one or the other, depending upon the situation or the circumstance. A way of escape, a way of getting out, a way of being successful in our journey rather than fall along the way as those Israelites did, because God's objective and goal for all of us is to be successful in the journey. And collectively it works so much better because we have each other to as a resource and to lean on. The church. We might have our thought and definition of what that is, but God alone knows what it truly contains and how it's measured. So learn from our fathers, from Israel, in this discourse that he gave to the church in Corinth. And not to repeat their mistakes, because we can be obedient to God and finish well. It only matters how we end. There will be struggles along the way. But when we see somebody struggling, we should reach out and lift up. When someone is down, we shouldn't kick them and beat them. We should lift them up. March right over the top of someone else because they think and see life differently. How appalling is that? It isn't over till it's over. Who do we have? We've got the examples of the Old Testament, of Moses, of Aaron, of Caleb, of David, of the prophets, those of the new, the prime and focal point example of Jesus Christ and the cross, his disciples, the book of Acts, those that we might consider smaller players in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul that we read of today. All of these were examples for us scripturally so that we might in our journey be successful and overcomers rather than succumb to the clamor and the noise and the behavior of the mob. Hold up that which is true. Uphold those who are down. Show kindness, love, compassion, and tolerance towards other, and run that race successfully. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we depart, we know that you promised to give us of your Spirit and to lead us by your Spirit in ways of truth and in ways of love and understanding, sharing your compassion and your grace and your gospel with others that are so desperately in need. Now unto him who was able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, world without end. Amen.